Welcome to the Total Wealth Academy radio show, where wealth includes much more than just money. It includes family, fitness, romance, and all the other parts of a balanced life. Listen and learn how 70% of the millionaires in America made their money using real estate. Now your host, real estate investor and consultant, Steve Davis.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. This is Trevor Davis, lead wealth coach up here at TWA. Hope y'all are having a great week. As always, we're going to start off with a quote by Albert Einstein, which is, "The measure of intelligence is the ability to change." And as I emphasize every time, it's very important when he is considered one of the smartest people of all time, if not the smartest person of all time. And if that is or isn't the case, I mean, we can recognize that he was a very intelligent person by most people's metrics. And with that qualification and with that level of credibility, that's what he said is the true measure of intelligence. And if you talk about where someone like him started as a schoolboy in Austria, and he was actually very good in his classes. And I know there's a meme that goes around that talks about how he failed some classes, and that's not true. That's an urban legend or whatever you want to call it. Not accurate. And I believe it's not Austria, actually. I believe it's Germany instead. But he did a pretty good job in school. And whenever you're deciding that you want to go down the academic path, just like any path, you're going to have to make some changes, because the schoolwork that gets you to be top of your class in elementary school, it's not going to be the kind of work that's going to get you to solve relativity and give us a vastly advanced and updated understanding of physics, aka how the universe works. And, you know, it's a kind of funny aside, but I like to think about technology as simply unlocking what the universe already has for us, because all the technology that we have today isn't possible simply because it's the year 2023. It's possible because we figured out more about how the universe works. You know, 100 years ago, or let's say 200 years ago, when we didn't have any understanding about radio waves, we had some understanding at that point of electricity, a lot of that owed to Benjamin Franklin. But if you thought about telling somebody from 200 years ago that you could communicate across two handheld devices, thousands of miles apart, using invisible waves, you know, that would completely blow their minds. But that's something that's possible because it's literally possible. It's part of our universe. And unlocking that stuff is very, very important. And that's one of the things that Einstein did by continuing to embrace change to get to the point where he got to be. And if that's a point that you want to go for, you know, that's somebody that you need to study in detail. And even if it's not, you can definitely understand that in his field, he was exceptional and he solved many, many things that we've been wondering about for very long periods of time. And his theory of relativity is still the dominant theory in physics today. They continue to find more information that starts to peel back at some of the theories that we have connected to it, but still general relativity is the main theory that we use. And making sure that we know that in this context, the literal definition of a theory does not mean just an idea that somebody has. It's an operating, identified pattern of behaviors and phenomenon in the universe that's been identified. That's what the theory is, and that's how we define it using English words or words in general in any language. So let's go ahead, and I want to also start off with the invitation to the British Fair Expo, which is April 1st. And if you're a member with us, you should be getting our major email going out today with the invitation. Crazy it is to say, we've got 500 spots available, and without this main email going out, we already have 150 filled, and every expo that we've done so far has been completely full. So if you're planning to come out to our British Fair Expo, you need to take action today. You need to take action as soon as possible to get your spot, because we're not going to be able to go past that 500 reservations. So all you have to do is go to totalwealthacademy.com/expo, E-X-P-O, and you're going to see all the information about the speakers, and you're going to see the food options. Pick your food option. And I am making two beers. And as you know, I love making beer. One of my goals is to open a brewery. So the two beers will be two British beers. So as part of this announcement, I'm going to tell you, officially reveal, that the two beers are going to be a British Dark Mild and a British Extra Special Bitter. So for fans of Shiner, for fans of Guinness, the Dark Mild will be perfect for you. And if you like IPAs or if you like pale ales, the Extra Special Bitter will be perfect for you. And I've got already the Dark Milds brewed. I'm going to be brewing the Extra Special Bitters over the next couple days. So extremely fresh beer, carbonated, made by me. So if you want to drink some beer, try some British-style beers, all authentic British ingredients, British yeast, British grains, British hops, those will be there at the expo as well. The main focus, though, real estate-wise, is going to be about passive investing made simple. We're going to have five different speakers total. We're going to have Craig and Linda McKinley, Bhavan and Pratima Sharma, Sam Morris, Steve Davis, founder of TWA, and then a special guest speaker from the Tony Robbins group, Dragan Tarkovsky. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Take action. Sign up for this. TotalWealthAcademy.com/expo. Don't hesitate. Don't miss out. And don't try to reserve when it's already full, because we will not be able to take you. Now let's get into the content from Tony Robbins today. We started to get into neuroassociative conditioning. And if you're familiar with recent Tony Robbins, this is a term that he uses a lot, because it's how humans work. It's one way that humans work is neuroassociative conditioning. And I feel like this is a term that needs to be broken down a little bit, because I don't like it when somebody throws a term out and just uses it sort of to sound more credible or sound more educated than they may be. And that's not to ever insult anybody's education or intelligence, but it is to say you need to be able to explain this term in the simplest terms, or else you really don't understand it, which is a convenient tie-in to another Albert Einstein quote, which says effectively what I just said. But if you don't understand something enough to explain it in the simplest terms, you don't really understand it. So the neuro part is the brain. Associative means what's its association, what are its associations, and then the conditioning, you know, the development, the change. So what are you conditioning your brain to associate things with? That's what neuroassociative conditioning is. You condition and change your brain to make certain associations to gain pleasure and avoid pain at the simplest form. We're at the first section, folks. We'll be right back after the break to continue the content from just day two of Tony Robbins. Stay tuned.
There's an old joke. When is the best time to buy real estate? 20 years ago. When is the second best time? Today. And that is truer than ever with the impending recession and the correction that is going on right now. Real estate investors are going to make millions of dollars over the next few years because of the recession. You should take advantage of it as well. To find out how, attend our free sample class at TotalWealthAcademy.com. TotalWealthAcademy.com. Just click on the free sample class button. Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody, to the TWA Wednesday Radio Show. I'm your host, Trevor Davis, lead wealth coach up here at TWA. So we're going into the neuroassociative conditioning, aka what are you associating your brain and conditioning your brain to associate things with? So when you make an association, it could be something crystal clear example, but let's say you had a awesome day. And then all of a sudden this song comes on that you liked already. Didn't necessarily have to be your favorite song already, but let's say you got a promotion and then the song comes on. And let's say it's the Bee Gees' Stayin' Alive. So you've associated that massive pleasure with this song, which in and of itself is just a song. But now you've got this massive association of pleasure to the Bee Gees staying alive. So whenever you hear that song, are you going to feel bad or are you going to feel really, really, really good? You're going to feel really, really good because now you've associated that particular song with a very positive event. And of course, then you can look at the flip side, the negative side. Let's say you've had the worst day ever. Your significant other dumped you. You lost your job. And then all of a sudden, Bee Gees Staying Alive comes on at the moment that you're feeling the lowest. And then whenever that song comes on and everybody else is having a good time and snapping their fingers or dancing, you're going to be feeling weird about it. Because you've gotten your brain to associate that song with that event. So, who forced us to make that association? Nobody. Except ourselves. If you want to call it forced, that is. But what we're trying to do here is not force ourselves to necessarily make associations that we don't want. What we're striving for here is to make the associations that we do want. Because they're going to be the associations that continue to get us the results that we want. What you really, really want. You know, it's about $1 million in the bank account, I guess. Or is it about what that $1 million can do for your family and yourself and your free time? Because I've yet to meet somebody who I feel is just motivated by money itself. Because money is just the tool for all of these things. In our civilization, because we don't do trading anymore, it always cracks me up when people try to question the very merits of the cash economy and using currency, you know, without an alternative. You got to be careful with providing critique to something because you probably aren't really understanding it if you haven't been able to provide a reasonable alternative yet. It's not to say you can't call out BS, but if you're going to say that cash is ridiculous and why can't we just do everything that we want to do without cash, it's because you have time and other people have time and all of our time is limited. So we have to find some way at its basic and most fundamental form to prioritize how time is used. And cash solves many of those problems. In other words, something that requires a lot of time and effort, resources, and all of that is going to be something that requires a lot of cash to exchange for that. So you have to start digging into what associations are actually motivating you. You know, what is it that at the end of the day you wish you could have done? It could be something as simple as wanting to have more time with your spouse or significant other and just sit on the couch and watch TV, for goodness sake. There's nothing wrong with that. So if that's going to be your ultimate want, you have to identify the fact that to provide that type of life, you've got to get your bills paid and you've got to make sure that you've got enough bill paying ability and want paying ability to cover both of y'all. So that is something that needs to be translated out of the simple, oh, I want $10,000 a month, or I want more than that, or a little bit less, you know, whatever it is you need to get to that point. But the money itself is not really going to motivate you enough to take action to get it. It just doesn't seem to be the case. And when everything is money, money, money on a show like this sometimes, we really have to dial it back and identify what it is that we really, really want. You know, I want to tell the story And I want to get more of the details on it so I can make it a little more in depth, because I intend to tell the story on a regular basis moving forward. But a very, very long time ago in ancient Rome, and we're not saying 2,000 years ago, we're talking about 2,500 years ago during the period of the Roman Republic before Rome was Rome the Empire, there was a man named Cincinnatus. And Cincinnatus was an experienced veteran in the Roman army. He was a very accomplished general, won almost every battle he ever fought in, and he was massively good at his job. But after the conflict ended, and at this time, Rome's major conflicts were with the early barbarians of the Gauls of northern Italy. That's who he was primarily fighting against. So once they were driven off and the city of Rome was safe, he got to go back to doing other things. And other things is important because Cincinnatus was not out there to be a general. He wasn't out there to fight, 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 and he wasn't out there to be a conqueror either. All Cincinnatus wanted to do with his damn time was plow his freaking fields. So Cincinnatus, whenever he was called to service, would be in his fields with his plow, tilling his fields. That's what he wanted to do. And again, time came whenever Gauls were threatening Rome. He gets called up. He goes to battle. He defends Rome, wins as a general, goes straight back to plowing his fields. And in ancient Rome, when you're a general who wins battles, you make a lot of money. A lot of money. So we're talking about people that were literally multimillionaires in today's money, and not just a couple million, but tens of millions of dollars, and sometimes hundreds of million of dollars. And many of these generals end up becoming what we would consider billionaires today. These were some of the richest people in Rome. So Cincinnatus was far from the exception, being so incredibly good at his job. He had all of the wealth that Rome had to offer. He had triumphs, which are the parades that you get to be given as a general, just like Caesar got about 450 years later. You get everything you could want material-wise. He had everything that somebody could think that they wanted. And yet after going to battle for the very last time, what does Cincinnatus go and do? Cincinnatus goes back to his house, his estate, in the northern Roman area, south of Tuscany, and he's back to tilling his fields. So my suggestion is, if you don't know what it is already, and I think honestly a lot of people don't, if you don't know what it is that you really want to be doing with your limited amount of time, you need to figure it out as soon as possible. As in, that is your number one priority at any given time, no matter what I say or what I'm talking about on the radio show or what anybody else is talking about on a radio show. Because if you don't know what it is you actually want, you're going to make decisions that push you in the direction of what you don't. Guaranteed. And maybe it's pretty close. Maybe what you're working toward right now is pretty close to what you ultimately want. Doesn't mean that you're completely sidetracked or going in a completely opposite direction. But it does mean sooner or later, your mind's going to start screaming at you. Your panic monster is going to start to wake up. And all of a sudden, you're feeling regret because you thought you were doing what you were supposed to do. And now you're realizing that you weren't doing what you were supposed to do because you weren't going for the thing that you actually wanted. So if you're here and you're listening, you know that you have the opportunity to make some changes if you don't like the direction that your life is going. if it's going in a direction that you don't want because it's not getting you the results that you want. So if you're Cincinnatus and you want to be in your fields all day, you're not going to go out and train in the military over and over each day. Bang your sword against dummies, block with your shield, ride on your horse. He wanted to till in his fields, so that's what he did at the opportunities that he had, which was the vast majority of his time as it ended up turning out. You need to find what your field is. And once you do, all of this other stuff that you need quote-unquote motivation for is going to be 100 times less difficult with the correct direction and the correct motivation to till your own type of field. And today, the city of Cincinnati, Ohio is named after Cincinnatus, so he is definitely well-remembered and well-respected in history. We will be right back to the halfway point of the TWA Radio Show. I'm your host, Trevor Davis. Stay tuned.
When you put money in the bank or pay your insurance premium, they take that money and go buy real estate with it. Why? Because it gives the highest rate of return and is the lowest risk. This is called passive investing. Due to some recent changes in the laws, you can now invest the exact same way. Total Wealth Academy can show you how. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com and attend our free sample class on real estate investing. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com. Thank you.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Halfway Point. And as promised, this is the time where we do the stock update. And it's pretty interesting because we have a little bit of a mixed bag, but we do have a bit of a significant lowering of the Dow Jones. So far, the lowest of the year, because we were hitting 2.84 year to date, which still hasn't made up for the losses of 2022, but now we're at negative 0.88. So with 2022 combined, we're at negative 8.43% with Dow Jones. S&P has slowed down year to date 4.15, and that puts them now at negative 11.89 with 2022. And NASDAQ has also slowed down from February 15th, when everything here was at the highest, and now they're slowing down, going down, as we see with Dow Jones, 11.08, so negative 18.15 with NASDAQ. And it's such an odd phenomenon to even talk about stocks like this because, you know, like a lot of people who are listening now, even if you're in real estate, you know, there's an emotional reaction to stock news. Because for some reason, stocks have become the mainstream meme investment. Because when you talk to the average financially educated person in the U.S. and you say investing, what's the first thing that they think about? Stocks. And there's nothing about stocks that you have any substantial control over when it's invested. Big difference. Because you have the control to choose your stocks, and you do have the control to take it out, but you don't have any control of what it's doing while your money is invested, which is the most important time, because that's when you're supposed to be making the money, isn't it? You know, you can make money on the sale, yeah, but that's the end to of the investment, and when we're talking about investing in general and creating an income stream to replace your job, you need constant monthly income. So that's stuff that comes from investments that are making money right now. So the people that are listening that have even one house, they're the people that are making money as I speak and flap my gums and be the talking head over the radio. Those are the people that are making money right now. So, and they're doing it too while they're not at their job, by the way. That's also important. Because if you're listening while you're at your job, you know, you're making money right now. Yeah, okay. But your time is the obligation. Your time is the trade-off. Your time is the loss. So the people that are sitting at home with the 10, 15, 20 houses or more, or an apartment complex, or passive investments in apartment complexes, those are the people that are making money right now. They're making money when they go to bed. They're making money when they take a nap in the middle of the day. They're making money when they drink beer too. So that's pretty cool when you're a beer person like me to think about. Or whatever it is you like to do. You're going to be making money at every single moment. And that's a constant income stream. So let's get into our content and go ahead and talk about some neuroassociative conditioning examples. Let's just talk about the big one. So about 35 years ago, this was the late 80s, Tony Robbins was starting to do his thing and getting good at it and getting famous for it. He was working with people that were smoking cigarettes. And cigarettes, as really everybody knows now, are very bad for you. And it cracks me up when I talk with the smoker, and it's really not something I engage with anymore because it's not something I can really help on because I despise cigarettes. I despise the industry. Doesn't mean I don't like the people that do it or I don't like the people that make cigarettes or anything ridiculous like that. But yeah, I can say that I hate the game, but I don't hate the players. I hate the fact that cigarettes are incredibly toxic and I can literally be walking down the street with fresh air and then literally somebody standing 20, 30 feet away is smoking one cigarette and then I have to smell it and I have to breathe that crap into my lungs. Even if it's the middle of the street or something, even wider and more spacious like that, you still get the smell, you still get those chemicals into your body. I didn't consent to that crap. I didn't go out here wanting to breathe in toxicity and carcinogens and all these chemicals your human body does not want in it. So, no, I don't like it at all. Now, cigarette smoking is something that Tony Robbins doesn't like either. I mean, he's somebody that doesn't even drink at all, for goodness sake. But he was working to help people quit smoking. So, again, if you're somebody that wants to quit smoking, that does not mean Tony or I feel a certain type of way about you personally. That's ridiculous. But we do feel a certain type of way about the habit itself. And I'm sure you feel a certain type of way about the habit itself that's way stronger than however we feel about it. Because if you've ever thought about quitting, maybe you should take the Tony Robbins treatment. Because the Tony Robbins treatment with smoking, what he did was he grabbed this guy who was a smoker. And this was a guy who was smoking multiple packs a day. So he had this guy go into a room with them, locked it, and he said, "All right, here's your cigarettes. All right, start smoking." The second this man lit up the cigarette, put it to his mouth, and took a puff, Tony slapped it out of his hand and berated him and screamed, "Don't do that. Stop smoking." Every single time, this man would go back and try again because nicotine addiction makes you go back no matter what it feels like. That's what I hear. So this man kept trying, and every time he would slap the cigarette out of his hand, and there were a couple times where he actually slapped the man's shoulder, or he slapped him in the face a little bit, when it was clear it had to be a little bit more of a harsh treatment. He kept doing this for a very long time, and it took almost 2 hours before finally this man said, "Wow, for some reason, I don't feel like smoking anymore. AKA, wow, I don't feel like getting slapped in the face anymore. He has now a very negative association and a very painful association with smoking cigarettes after getting slapped by Tony Robbins. And Tony Robbins is a big dude. And when you're getting slapped by Tony Robbins and you're getting yelled at by Tony Robbins, yeah, you're going to be pretty scared unless you're also 6'7" and almost well over 250 pounds. And even then, if that's somebody that's your equal, it's a lot easier to be intimidated by an equal than somebody who's smaller than you, physically. But this man was able to stop smoking along with all of these other people that Tony gave the Tony slap treatment to because he was causing them to reassociate cigarettes with pain. And this is clearly a very extreme example of the neuroassociative conditioning, but one of the things I really like to think about and continue to think about is what he says to do, which is to attach massive pain to not making immediate change. In other words, you have to find some way for your brain to register pain and discomfort from not making a change on something that you need to take. And the exercise that they ended up doing is this whole event where it took literally like an hour to talk about all of these people and to take all of these people in the room and start associating negativity with what would happen to you if you didn't take action on it. And this was definitely the craziest part of the whole event because you have a room full of people that are literally screaming their guts out at the prospect of, for lack of a better term, screwing their lives up. So if you talk about someone who's important to you, talking about screwing up your relationship with your sibling or screwing up your relationship with a parent, or screwing up your relationship with your spouse or significant other, you know, what's going to happen in the future? Are they going to want to stick around with you? No. Are they going to want to talk to you? No. Are they going to start giving you that love and respect that you thought you were so guaranteed and used to? No. So you're going to have a very negative experience from making those decisions. Or you talk about, go back to the financial aspect to talk about the money. But that harsh reality is that you need the money to do things like pay for your kids' college or make sure that your baby has food and diapers and everything that your baby needs to grow up healthy and strong. If you talk about a negative association that should motivate you, it should be making sure that you don't provide the wrong environment for your newborn. To envision that type of reality, associate that pain to the decisions you're making now that you don't want, and redirect yourself to the ways and the things that you do want. We're going to get back to the last part about neuroassociative conditioning in the final segment, everybody. This is TWA Radio Show. I'm your host, Trevor Davis. Stay tuned.
When you put money in the bank or pay your insurance premium, they take that money and go buy real estate with it. Why? Because it gives the highest rate of return and is the lowest risk. This is called passive investing. Due to some recent changes in the laws, you can now invest the exact same way. Total Wealth Academy can show you how. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com and attend our free sample class on real estate investing. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com. Thank you.
All right, everybody, we are at the final segment of today's Wednesday radio show. I'm your host, Trevor Davis. So let's go and start off with a little bit of a funny story, kind of the counter to what Tony Robbins did with the cigarette folks, but he did that a couple times with the weed folks, and let's just say he kind of had a more mutually entertaining experience rather than a stopping them smoking experience. And he did have that work a couple times, but the mechanics there are definitely a bit different in the human body chemical-wise. So let's just say Tony Robbins got a little bit of a kick from the weed and kind of had to decide that maybe getting locked in a room like that wasn't the best choice. Neither for the cigarettes. So he stopped doing both of those. Now, what they ended up going through past the neurotive conditioning is finding out your driving force. You know, the want that I'm talking about today and we'll continue to talk about moving forward. And this is something I want to read, just quote from the packet itself. And they say, most people fail to achieve their goals in life for one simple reason. They never take the first steps. And follow through is very, very important for everything. But when people talk about making something happen, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. Rome had to be built brick by brick by brick, stone by stone. So you have to find out, what are the stones? What are the bricks? How do you build a house, for example? You know, you don't just look at the lot, blink, and then a house is there. Obviously, that's ridiculous. But for some reason, and I do this myself and have done it many, 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 many times, when stuff like that doesn't work like that, we get upset. Or whenever we pick something up, try it out, and we don't master it, in 2 minutes, we put it right back down. You know, you're going to be here anyway. You're going to have this time anyhow. So why not do something cool? Why not spend time doing something that will give long-term payout? You know, the thing that we hear a lot, and Zig Ziglar talks about it in one of his videos, but he was talking to somebody that was nervous about going to school and getting an education, college education, like in their mid-30s. And they're like, why would I do that and wait 5 years to get the education and finish my college that I always wanted to do? And Zig Ziglar says, well, what are you going to be 5 years later? 5 years older? Wouldn't you rather have your degree then too? So we're going to be in this time. We're going to be in this human body anyway. So why in the world would we not be using the time to reward ourselves at a new present that's going to come later? You know, if you can start looking at yourself, and this is a meme that I found online, but when people are talking about procrastination and they say, for example, and I'll use my name, like, dang, like, past Trevor really screwed me over here. In other words, if I had decided not to do a bunch of dishes last night because my fiance cooked a bunch of food over the past 3 nights, and I just felt like pushing it off to today, well, that would have been past Trevor screwing over present Trevor, the now Trevor. But instead, I can thank past Trevor because I'm going to get home and the dishes are all done and my kitchen is perfectly clean because I decided to do the thing that I was going to do at some time anyway. So for what good reason can a human being like myself have to put something like that off? Doing a lot of quotes today, but here's the Abraham Lincoln quote that I've been talking about, but don't put off something to tomorrow that you can do today. If there is the one antidote to procrastination in everything, it's that statement. Because when you can identify that You can do these things today. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You're going to take more action. You're going to take the action, even if it's just one thing, to say the dishes, for example. And I know, like a lot of people, dishes aren't the number one most favorite thing you do with your time. But I literally had the time to do those dishes. Yeah, it was a little bit later. It was about 10:30. I was like, no, I'm going to do these dishes. I'm not going to go and play games before bed without doing these dishes. Last thing I like to do at the end of the day. I'm going to knock them out. And then when you look at it and it seems like this massive task and you're trying to find excuses to not do it. You know, do you ever do that where you look at something that you know you have to do and you feel like your brain is just getting carried away with making excuses on why not to do it? Like going to the gym, it doesn't matter, for me at least, how many times I've gone to the gym. Because I'm going to the gym today. Every single time I think about it, there's a part of me that's trying to find excuses not to freaking go. Oh, my body's sore from last week. Oh, I need to also brew the beer today. Oh, I'm kind of feeling a little sick. I've kind of got some allergies. I don't really feel like it. I don't really feel like it. Yeah, that's the greatest excuse of all time. But that's just the way that we work. And we talked about this during our meeting today, but effort minimizing brain is a real freaking killer. As intelligent beings, the more intelligent we get, the more talented we're going to be at minimizing effort. So literally just whatever you want to consider smartness, but smart creatures like humans, and let's just say we're the smartest on the planet, or we're not, whatever, but I think we are, we're extremely good at minimizing effort. That allows us to use energy that would be wasted onto things that can actually matter, like growing a big fat brain like you've got in your big fat skull. And I'm not exaggerating because human craniums are massive. Our brains are huge. So we've got a lot going on in the old nut. And the old nut, because it wants to save calories and energy, even if it's just for survival, even if it's just for emergency situations it cannot foresee, is trying to save energy at all times. Repeat, all times. All the time. Every single moment. You've got at least one part of your brain that is trying to make you not do stuff. To save energy. To save energy. That's what it really is. And it could be relaxing. It could be working less hard. But it's going to be something that's causing you to not use your full potential. And that's not to say we have to be basically revving our engines at 6,000 RPMs, because obviously that's going to cause burnout. But it is interesting to consider that this effort minimization brain sometimes causes us to not do things that are just a little bit of effort that lead to long-term results. Because my effort minimizing brain with those dishes was saying what? Don't do the dishes right now. You can do them later. It's not a big deal. No. I'm going to instead listen to the part of my brain that's saying what I'm saying now, which is no. I'm going to do these dishes and get them done. So the new present Trevor doesn't have the stress. Past Trevor did a solid to the future Trevor. That's now the present Trevor. Get your past self on your side. Get your past self doing the things that you want to have done. I don't like going to the gym, but I sure like having gone to the gym. If that makes any sense at all. I don't like doing dishes, but I like having all the dishes done. What are the things that you like having done that you don't necessarily like doing? That's your past helping your present. You get present rewards for everything that you've done in the past. So put your past self on your side. Folks, I want to give you all the invitation to the expo one more time. That's totalwealthacademy.com/expo. Head there and sign up today. Do not delay. It will get filled up. We will see you on April 1st. That's Saturday. Starts at 9 a.m. My name is Trevor Davis. This has been the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show, and I will see y'all next Wednesday.
You've been listening to the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. Please remember that this show is for entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investing advice. Always get a professional opinion before making any investment decisions. To find out more about coaching and consulting at Total Wealth Academy, visit TotalWealthAcademy.com and attend one of our free sample classes on real estate investing. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.